WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Our guest Kristen Ritter is the star of the Netflix series Jessica Jones, which is based on a Marvel Comics character. Season 1 and 2 are on Netflix. The series was recently renewed for a third season. Jessica Jones is not your typical superhero in tights. She's a hard-drinking, low-rent private eye with superhuman strength. She's also coping with PTSD from two big traumas. She believes she's the sole survivor of a family car accident from when she was a child. She was also the sex slave of a supervillain named Kilgrave, who could command people with his voice. As several reviewers have pointed out, the show's themes of sexual assault and female rage make Jessica Jones a strong feminist hero in this era of the Time's Up and Me Too movements. Kristen Ritter also played Jesse Pinkman's girlfriend in Breaking Bad. She spoke with our producer, Sam Brigger. They started with a scene from Jessica Jones, in which Jessica is attending a court-mandated anger management session where she's supposed to tell the group how she's feeling.
My whole family was killed in a car accident. Someone did horrific experiments on me. I was abducted, raped, and forced to kill someone. And now some maniac says that I am here for a reason. Like some sick destiny. She's out killing people, and I'm in here bouncing a ball.
That's a scene from the second season of Jessica Jones. Kristen Ritter, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you so much for having me.
So the first season of Jessica Jones was about your character coping with the trauma of basically being a slave to the supervillain named Kilgrave. His superpowers, like commanding people with his voice. And he rapes her and also has her kill someone. And in the second season, the character seems to have moved from a stage of trauma into some situation where she's feeling a lot of rage.
Yeah, Jessica is really struggling. When we find her in the top of season 2, she hates herself. She doesn't know if she did the right thing or if she is actually a cold-blooded killer. She was capable of murder. It was easy for her to do that. So she's dealing with a lot of conflict with that. You know, the public, her friends all say, like, you did the right thing. We can sleep at night knowing that that guy's out of the picture. But Jessica is very fearful that she is a monster. So that's kind of where we find her, just really, really battling with that.
And it seems like one of the questions this season is trying to figure out is how can Jessica harness that rage in a positive way and not be so destructive to herself and the people around her?
Sure. And a lot of the thing with the season, you know, we deal with her rage and she's wondering, like, how far that is going to take her. Where is the line? She finds herself constantly stepping over the line. And then when the opposing force, Jessica's antagonist, shows up and ends up being basically a souped up version of her, her mother, who is a rage monster and can kill people without remorse, without any awareness. Jessica is terrified that that is where she's headed, playing with the themes like, you know, relatable themes like, am I my mother? Am I becoming my mother in this elevated superhero way where if she becomes like her mother, there are major consequences.
So this season, you get to play a younger version of Jessica Jones. I think it's like episode 7 or 8 where there's a lot of flashbacks to a younger version of yourself. And there's also a lot of scenes in this season where you're alone and there's not a lot of dialogue and you're just sort of emoting, you know? And you're very good at that. Like you, I don't know if you have a very expressive face or you're just good at expressing yourself. But I'm just wondering, like, technically, what goes through your mind when you're doing those scenes? Like, are you like, what level are you working at? Are you being like, okay, scowl, okay, scowl some more? Or are you thinking about that, like, your life, or are you thinking about the character's life? Like, I'm sure all those levels could work, but where do you do it?
I am doing the most work when I'm saying lines. It's just been ingrained in me. If you don't have anything going on in your head, you're not interesting to watch. So I would say that the bulk and the majority of my work is when I have no lines. And I love it when I have no lines, because then I often, like, I'll talk to Melissa about a scene. I'm like, I would love the opportunity to have this play on my face. Could we cut XYZ lines? And we usually do. It's exhausting because you have all of that, like all of my subtext, all of the history is there. Yeah, you can't just like stand there and scowl. That's not going to register. That's not going to affect anybody. That's not going to hit heartstrings. You got to feel it if you want your audience to be in it with you. So I just make sure that I feel it, and I have a ton going on.
You also were really terrific in the second season of Breaking Bad, and you played Jane, who was a recovering drug addict, who eventually starts using again when she dates Jesse Pinkman. I wanted to play a scene from that show. Your dad, played by John DeLancey, has just found out that you're using again, is obviously really upset. And we'll also hear Aaron Paul, who plays Jesse, in this clip.
You're going back to rehab today, now.
Look, as it so happens, we were just talking about that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to tell you, okay, if you would just let me.
18 months. You have been clean for 18 months, Jane. Why? Why do you do it?
I backslid, okay? Like, what? What, you think I'm proud of this? Like, I do it on purpose?
Lying to me. Shacking up and using with this scumbag, this loser.
Hey, it takes one to know one.
His name is Jesse, Dad, and you don't know the first thing about him. We talk about rehab every night. It's his idea.
You talk about rehab? Well, geez, isn't that wonderful?
Thank you for not being judgmental 24 hours a day. Because that's exactly what I need, to be judged all the time.
Okay. You know what you need? I'll tell you exactly what you need.
Well, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I am calling the police.
Dad! Hey, Dad,
whoa,
no! Don't!
Come on! Come on!
Dad, no, don't!
I have tried 10 years of love and understanding.
Sir?
Maybe what it takes is you drying out in a jail cell.
Dad, no!
Yes, I would like to report drug use in a building that I own.
Dad!
No, it's ongoing.
Daddy, no!
It's illegal activity. I'd like to talk to somebody.
Daddy, no!
Would you connect me, please?
Fine, we'll go to rehab.
I could care less about him going to rehab. I want you in rehab.
Okay, I'll go first thing tomorrow.
Not tomorrow, today.
I have to call into work. I have to stop the newspaper. Last time I went to rehab, all my houseplants died because you didn't water them, so... Daddy, please. I'll go.
Albuquerque police, how am I direct your call?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I don't know. I just think if we had enough money, nobody could make us do anything.
That's my guest, Kristen Ritter, in a scene from Breaking Bad. It's a really powerful scene, and it's very emotional. How do you prepare when things are going to get that emotional?
Oh, my God. Even hearing that, I was like, whoa. Because it's so sad, because we know she doesn't go tomorrow.
Right. Is that a scene that you would work on a lot together?
That's a scene I think that we would mark and have a good shape. I think with something that emotional, because that does get pretty heavy, mm-hmm. you don't want to totally take the air out of the tires. Of course, like, you end up shooting a lot and you shoot different angles, but that wouldn't be a scene that I would want to go to 100 in rehearsals.
Right.
With stuff like that, like, and in Jessica Jones too, there are you know, some heavy scenes where it gets, like, you know, really hardcore, really emotional, and I would kind of have a good idea what I wanted to do. I will kind of go to the sound department first. And kind of tell them, like, hey, just so you know, like, this is what I'm planning to do. I'll talk to the camera operators, to the DP, like, and the director, of course. This is kind of like, I'm going to mark it for you, but, like, I just want everybody to be ready. Like, you never want to do, like, some crazy performance where you get really emotional and then, like, your mic blows out because they aren't expecting, like, a huge volume.
Right.
So I tend to, like, have a really good idea or a really good sense of what I'm going to do. And kind of show a shape, and then go for it.
later that episode, you have a really violent death, and you know, you're passed out on heroin and you start choking on your own vomit, and Bryan Cranston's character, Walter White, is there, and it looks like he's about to help you, but then he decides just to sit there and watch you, you know, you're convulsing and you're spitting up, and he just lets you die because you've gotten in the way between him and his partner, Jesse. It's a really horrible scene. Was it a hard scene for you?
Yeah. I think the harder scene for me was when I was actually dead the following episode. It was emotional witnessing someone grieving for your death. And I'm a very sensitive person, and Aaron Paul was really just, his performance was so amazing, and he was so distraught and so devastated and crying and on my chest and him and trying to revive me so violently that it was intense. I tried to like go in my body so much, but then he couldn't help but think like, oh my God, if I were dead, like someone would be doing this. It was hardcore. Those are the moments where you're like, man, acting is really weird. Additionally, there was a body cast made, which was, thank God, they had the foresight to do that. It was like cast. It screwed together on the sides to protect my chest so that Aaron could really go to town. But they made it for my body double, and she was a little bit more petite than I am. So the thing didn't fit all the way. So he's like smashing on my chest, and each time it wouldn't latch, so it was pinching my skin every time, and I'm just trying so hard to like lay there and be dead, and I couldn't get a full breath of air because of it. We had to take a minute. It was really, you know, when you're on the verge of like of anything emotional happening, to then like pound on your chest is just gonna come out.
Yeah. You were at a mall with your mom and were approached by a talent scout who asked if you had ever considered a career in modeling. Is that something you jumped at? Were you suspicious of the scout? I mean, it sounds like something from a movie, too.
Totally. Well, it was a woman, and she was...
That probably makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah. And she was from Elite Model Management, and that's a reputable agency. Even I had heard of that in the back of, like, 17 magazine. We were surprised. Around that time, so I would have been 15 when I was scouted, my mom was, I guess, pregnant with my sister, and a lot of the nurses would always say, like, oh, Kristen's so tall, and, oh, she should be a model, but that thing that, like, people just say. But it wasn't like I was, like, pretty in high school or, like, had that kind of, like, I don't know, vibe. So when I was scouted, it was pretty surprising, and my grandmother said something to me. She passed away years ago, and she said to me, she was like, modeling was the best thing that happened to you because I saw what it did for your confidence.
Hmm.
And so I'm really grateful for that.
So you started modeling at 15, and you were doing that in New York and Philadelphia, and you moved to New York at the age of 18. And you did fashion, you know, all over the world.
Yeah.
Eventually, modeling led to work in acting. And is that something you took to right away?
Yes, because I think, you know, like I was saying before, I didn't really know what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I'm modeling, and I'm angsty, and I got my guitar on my back, and I'm like, I want to be a rock star. And I didn't like how I was treated at my go-sees. I would try to crack jokes. They weren't really interested. It was just like the kind of cliche fashion industry stuff.
Right.
And so when I started getting sent on commercials, they were like, tell us about yourself. Tell us a funny joke. Do a funny dance. And I'm like, okay, I could do all of those things. So that I got the bug kind of right away. I started booking all the commercials. And then I was like, I can always be better. I can always work harder. I can always show up earlier. I had a whole science to arrival. I wrote it down in my journal. Like, this is what time you need to arrive for an appointment. You don't want to be 20 minutes early because then, like, you might annoy people. They're not ready for you. Mm. But you don't want to be 5 minutes early because what if you have to use the ladies' room, or what if you'll be rushed? So I decided that arriving, like, 12 minutes before your appointment was, like, the best. And this was, like, something I came up with at, like, age 20. My science to arrival. And I still use it to this day.
That's great. Well, you've branched out from acting. You last year wrote a novel called Bonfire.
That's
a thriller. And you said you wrote the book in response to some disappointing roles you were being offered at the time. And this was in between, I think, the seasons of Jessica Jones. What were some of those roles?
Honestly, like, it's Jessica's a tough act to follow. Mm. Jessica, like, the work that I get to do and the backstory and the character building and, like, just the breaking down the scripts, and I'm just so invested and I really get to sink my teeth into it. And so then when you see a part where, I don't know, it's like a group of six girls going to Vegas and, you know, the girl is like, oh, my God, you're so getting laid tonight. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it, and I don't want to. And I just felt like there, in that time, especially, you know, end of 2015, it just felt like all of the comedies that I was seeing featuring women were all raunchy, sexy, and drunk. And I'm like, I just don't believe that that is the only source of comedy that you can get with female characters. And so I didn't really want to participate in any of them. I felt like I would rather sit out, work on my side hustles. I think my time is going to be better spent generating my own stuff, telling stories I want to tell, being really, you know, being excited. You know, being on set and, like, working, it's hard work. And when you love it, you never want the day to end. But it takes you away from your personal life. It takes you away from your house. Like, it, you know, it puts strains on all of your personal relationships. So it's gotta be really, really good and really worth it.
Kristen Ritter, thanks so much for coming on Fresh Air.
Thank you so much for having me. What a great interview. I appreciate it so much.